You're listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit nakedbiblepodcast.com and click on the support link in the upper right-hand corner. If you're new to the podcast and Dr. Heiser's approach to the Bible, click on New Start Here at nakedbiblepodcast.com.
Welcome to the Naked Bible Podcast, episode 192, SBL, Conference Interviews, Part 3. I'm the layman, Trey Strickland, and he's the scholar, Dr. Michael Heiser. Hey, Mike, last day, SBL.
Last day. I see a tear forming in your eye.
I've got my bags packed. I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be here for a while because my wife and kids are coming in. We're going to do some Boston things and then go drive down to PA for Thanksgiving. So, have a good trip. I'm going to be here for a while. Still doing the hotel thing. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk to Tim Mackey of the Bible Project. Again, some listeners will have heard of that, but it's really a wonderful content-oriented, but again, a visual presentation of scriptural truth, biblical theology. So we wanted to talk to Tim a little bit. We have a bit of a history between us there, so we were grateful to get some of his time. We talked with Matthew Lynch, who's in the UK and has a fascinating model of delivering, high-quality education for students that's sustainable and sensible. I think you're going to be really interested if you live over there, what they're actually doing, and it's growing, it's taking hold. So for those of you who have wanted to learn some scripture, good content, and you're in the UK, this is something you should check out. So another great set of interviews. Well, we're back at SBL, and we have with us Tim Mackey, Dr. Tim Mackey, a fellow traveler in the University of Wisconsin in Madison Hebrew Department. But more significantly, Tim has just a wonderful ministry, the Bible Project, and teaches part-time. But I'm going to let him introduce himself and tell us about what you do.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Tim Mackey. I live in Portland, Oregon, and I'm a professor of biblical literature at Western Seminary, part-time, but my main gig, is the Bible Project, which is a nonprofit animation studio in Portland that makes short animated films about biblical theology.
And does it really well.
Yeah, it's a great team. So our main thing, we're an educational YouTube channel. That's where we fit in the ecosystem of YouTube in the nonprofit education channel world. But we also have a website where we have lots of other biblical theology resources. And
yeah, well, the listeners will know, right away, this is sort of the sweet spot for us, because what we're trying to do is get content, good content, not like Christian Middle Earth crazy content.
Yeah, right.
To anybody who cares, just the non-specialist, the pastor, and really anybody. That's the mission. Again, just trying to do that. And what you do is just a perfect example of what we would like to see done just generally. I mean, stuff that needs to happen. I'm sure you're like me. You meet people all the time that they've been Christians for 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And they just don't know a whole lot. And it's not because they're not smart or good thinkers. Mm-hmm. It's just they're underexposed to content.
Yeah. And at least my growing conviction is that it is about content, but it's also about a whole cultural paradigm for engaging the Bible.
Yep, there you go with video,
And it's not just like Western Protestantism, as if that's the problem with everything. Mm-hmm. But it's more that there's the symptomatic issues in Protestant culture, especially, where people engage the Bible only in environments where you encounter little bits of the Bible out of context for your whole life. And so it's actually very difficult in that kind of culture to see the Bible, how it's actually designed to be read on its own terms, which is as an expansive, unified, epic narrative.
Okay, I have to
it's
ask
very
you.
Difficult. So that's a part of what you and I both have in common, of helping people see always every particular poem or story or verse of Paul is located within that larger storyline.
All right. I'm sure you encounter people that say, well, Tim, why should we care about all that external stuff? Why should we care about the big picture? that just sounds like work. You know, I mean, can I just open my, you know, flip open my Bible and look at a few verses and understand it? I mean, why do I need to do all this? What do you, how do you try to encourage them or even possibly rebuke them?
Well, I became a follower of Jesus when I was almost 20, and I had not read the Bible at any length, but I was really compelled by Jesus, just the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so the Gospels were the first parts of the Bible I ever read, and I still remember this. There was so much about Jesus that was so compelling, how he treated people, what he said and did, but there was a whole layer that I was just like, what is this guy talking about most of the time? Like the narratives about how what he did with people, but how he, pretty much everything he was trying to communicate made no sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then someone taught me that these cross references for when he's quote, when why I read the NASB, that's what the first Bible put in my hands, and they put the Old Testament quotes in all caps. And I remember asking my mentor, like, why is all this stuff in all caps? And he's like, oh, those are quotations of Jesus from the first three quarters of the Bible. And so then I just, right from the very beginning, I just started working those notes. And I was more bewildered than ever. And then I realized, like, I want to follow Jesus and I want to understand him. And his who he is incomprehensible to me apart from the first three quarters of my Bible. So that's that was my journey, really, to be honest, was New Testament use of the Old. And I just realized everything the apostles are trying to tell us about who Jesus is, it what it means to follow him, they see it as part of a much larger story that takes a lifetime to immerse yourself in. And for the apostles and Jewish readers of the Bible, that's the joy of the scriptures. It's how much work it takes. Psalm 119, it's a joy, you know? So it's a, I don't know, it's a different culture. We have to learn how to...
It is, but that's a good tack. You know, that's a very... I try not to let, you know, a person's sort of reticence about work...
Yes, okay, yes.
Deter me from actually giving them the right answer. You know,
yeah.
It is work, but like most things in life, anything really worth...
Yes.
Your time, or it's going to be work.
Yeah. That's like a relationship. Relationships take work.
Sure.
But there's something about these texts, these precious texts from the Jewish and Christian tradition. I often feel now about the Bible, it's like having a friend who's eccentric and odd, who everybody misunderstands.
Yeah. Right.
And you'd want to help the world see how awesome your friend is. And you could call it work. I just call it time.
Yeah.
And being able to step out of my way of seeing the world into this epic storyline, which is from a different culture and time and place.
Yeah.
And it reveals God to us, but it's from another from another world, so to speak.
That's a good analogy.
So you have to humble yourself and get on a plane and go fly to another culture, bring your phrase book, learn like how to say your numbers and hello and goodbye. You know what I mean? It's like traveling.
Absolutely.
So it does take work, but
it's an investment ultimately.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, there you go. I agree. I love what you guys are doing through all the Naked Bible resources, and it's my easiest place to go to for exegetical stimulation while I'm riding my bike to work. Right. Like, I want a session Leviticus 10 this morning on my ride to work, so I know where I'm going.
Okay.
Episode 37 or whatever. Anyway, so thank you guys for what you're doing.
Yeah, well, we're excited about what you do too, and it's just, we admire the again, the effort and the results, you know, that go into it. So we would encourage everybody, you know, who listens to us to check out the Bible Project. You want to give the URL again?
Yeah, you know, the easiest thing to do is just Google the Bible Project.
Okay.
Or if you're ever in YouTube, just search the Bible Project, and the videos will come up pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And
you should
our main website is just thebibleproject.com.
You should know that there's a lot of scholarship. There's a lot of grunt work that goes into these videos. Again, Tim, you know, has an earned PhD. You know, he knows what he's doing, and you know, we've chatted off the podcast about the work that he does. So you can trust that what you're getting in the videos. It's not just, you know, eye candy. Okay. It's good stuff. It's good thinking distilled, in a very comprehensible way.
Yeah. Yeah. I cut my teeth, in those early years teaching the Bible to, junior high skateboarders. I came to Christ through outreach ministry to skateboarders in Portland. And so my first teaching responsibility was for the junior high Bible study, kids that have become Christians. And so that's when I first started drawing. I would draw stuff on charts for them to just try and make it comprehensible. And I had some teachers who drew a lot. And then that, for me, was the genesis of using heavy reliance on visuals to communicate how the Bible works. And then when I met my friend John, the co-founder of the Bible Project, he had been professionally making short animated explainer videos for clients, mostly tech companies. And so he pitched the idea to me to marry my bad drawings and hopefully good content with his skill set and team. And then the Bible Project happened. So it's it's super, super fun. I get to be a nerd and read and study and write. And then the art team takes over after that.
Somebody else can make it beautiful.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
Well, we're back at SBL and we're with Matthew Lynch. I'm going to let Matthew introduce himself and give us a little bit of a history of, you know, who you are, what your degree is in, what your focus is, but more importantly, what it is you do.
Sure. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on the podcast. My name's Matt Lynch. I am Dean of Studies and Lecturer in Old Testament at Westminster Theological Center, which is based in the UK. I did my doctoral studies in Hebrew Bible, Emory University in Atlanta. I had done my master's degrees at Regent College of Vancouver, and I ended up moving over to the UK 4 or 5 years ago. And so I work at Westminster Theological Center now, and the WTC is a unique college. First of all, we're unabashedly charismatic and interdenominational, and we're not an ordination track college. So a lot of colleges are specifically for people going into the Church of England or something like that, but we're looking to equip the whole people of God, no matter what area of ministry or work they're going into. The way our model works is that students study with us part-time and in a local hub, which is a place where they gather with a cohort of other students in a local community. And I can explain how that works.
Tell us how it works and how many there are. If you have those numbers off the top of your head, let us know.
Yeah, I do. And it's growing. We're a growing college. And we have 11 locations around the UK, and we have a hub in Stockholm as well.
Wow.
And we just opened a hub in Northern Ireland this year. So those are the kind of farthest reaches of our hubs. And the way, if someone was going to study at with us, they would pick a particular hub around the UK or up in Stockholm, and they would enroll and the way they would do their course is that, let's say they're doing a certificate in theology, or they're doing a graduate diploma or a bachelor's degree. Essentially, you enroll at the local hub, let's say Northeast London or in Manchester or down in Bristol or out in East Anglia, or we have hubs all over the place, and you would study part time in the local hub about 20 nights a year.
Okay.
On Monday or Tuesday evening. But then you have two annual residentials where all of our students gather together. There are about 200 of us at the college. We gather in Telford, which is a pretty central location. And those are a really fantastic time. And our vision and mission really is to integrate an openness to the Spirit and deep academic study and not divorcing those two things.
Right. And that's important, you know, for my audience, because there'll be some in the audience that they hear the term charismatic and they think that's going to be incompatible, you know, with scholarship. So one of the reasons I wanted to have Matthew on is that that's not the case here. Okay.
No.
We have a credentialed scholar, stays up, you know, with his own, you know, interests, you know, tries to do you know, serious academic work and transmit you know, a sense of the need to do that in his school, but yet, you know, not ignoring, you know, the other side.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we find that among a lot of our students, there's a real hunger to go deep, to put those sure foundations on top of an experience they've had. Because an experience is important. We believe God is living and active and wants to actually meet with us. But at the same time, you can't build your life simply on experience.
Right,
and you need foundations to sustain you when you don't have the experience, or when you're doubting the experience. And so I think the integration of those two things is really important.
Yeah. Well, we could probably all give a grocery list of the bad examples we've seen where everything is experience oriented. I want to go back to the hubs. You know, how does a hub form and operate? Like, do you have to have a graduate or a scholar or a pastor? I mean, who leads the thing? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so each hub has a hub director.
Okay.
Who is a facilitator of the hub, oversees the kind of marketing side of things, and is a kind of pastoral support there.
Okay.
They're not meant to be academic support. We handle that centrally as a college.
Do you do that like over the internet or Skype, or how do you do that?
Both ends. So first of all, if a student studies with us, you don't have a distance learning relationship with a lecturer because you've already met them at the residential. We start the year in September at the residential together with a time of intensive study and worship. So that's the context out of which you form the community.
Right.
But then a local hub's usually based in a church that we have a relationship with. And a student will come to a hub on a hub evening, one of those 20 evenings a year if they're doing the certificate or grad diploma or BA. And they would watch pre-recorded content. They would have a time of worship and discussion together, but also a video conference with the lecturer.
Oh, okay.
Who will help them unpack and ask questions about what they've seen in the content.
Okay.
So it's some refer to it as a flipped classroom model where you get the content in in the recorded section and then discuss it.
So if you're an instructor, you're doing 20 of these, you said a term?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, each individual instructor doesn't have that kind of load, but the students will have different instructors.
Okay.
For 20 evenings.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, are there fewer or more obstacles to creating a degree granting program in the UK? Like, do you have accreditation issues? Is that separate from granting degrees? I mean, what was the dog and pony show that you had to go through to do this?
Yeah. So to get degree granting status in the UK, you need to be affiliated with a university. So all of our students are awarded a degree from the University of Chester, which is our validating university or accrediting university. It's a fully fledged academic degree, but we have relative autonomy to develop a program how we want, and that's where we can do what we do. And so we have a really good relationship with Chester. But there's a lot of red tape and paperwork.
Right. So the
relationship with Chester preceded me, the formation of that. They have a really good theology and religious studies program there that we connected with and got to know the folks in that department. I'm not sure the reasons for the decision to go with Chester. We had been with a different university before. Mm-hmm. But I think Chester also has an openness to confessional theological colleges operating in their orbit, and I'm not sure all universities are.
Okay, that's probably an understatement.
So in the UK, unlike in the US, where you'd have an accrediting body like the ATS, there it's all run through the universities. You don't have kind of freewheeling operations in quite the same way.
I'd like to get your impressions on sort of the state of believing Christianity in the UK, because I tend to hear the laments.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your thoughts?
Well, as you can tell from my accent, I'm American, so I hesitate to make too many broad pronouncements about the state of faith in the UK.
Sure.
But I can say that Well, I'll take it from our angle. What's exciting to us is that the charismatic Pentecostal churches are growing in the UK across sure. denominations. And so for us, that bodes well for our college, but also it signals something exciting is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons those wings of the church are growing is because there's been an infusion of immigrants into those denominations. And so, you know, some people suggest that in some ways revival will happen in the UK, not internal
yeah,
to
like from the outside.
Yeah, from the outside, yeah. So to speak. The Anglican Church, which is the state church in the UK, is broadly in decline. Although in the London area, it's growing, and okay. so that's the wow. only major sector of the UK yeah. where the Anglican Church is growing. Probably to do with Holy Trinity Brompton, mm-hmm. which is the major church and influencer yeah. there.
I mean, I keep hearing and reading things about, like, you know, some ridiculous percentage of people in the UK are Jedi, you know, like they identify with this weird sort of neo
occult. Oh, you mean literally Jedi?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like the Jedi.
Yeah, we see them walking
something.
Around all over the place. Yeah, they're one out of every two Brits right. are Jedi. That's
right.
true.
No, but it's. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen these stories about yeah. you know these percentages of people who identified yeah. as Jedi yeah. on a religious yeah. and I'm sure yeah. a lot of it has to be like yeah. sort of a. You'd think it would be a little bit of a prank,
yeah.
you know, at some point.
Well, it's. But, I mean, a related story. A friend of mine. He was teaching him one of the massive open online courses, and he made an offhand comment when he was talking about ancient Greek gods that no one worships them anymore. And then he went on to make some other point.
Right. Well,
of course, a listener wrote in and said, I do, in fact, worship the sure. ancient Greek pantheon, and I take offense.
It's probably
at that,
the guy that interviewed me last year.
Okay.
I was on a pagan podcast.
Yeah,
that,
I guess
that's his thing.
I guess you bump into these folks a little more often than I do, but
yeah.
But, you know, to get back to the point about the state of the church in the UK, the other, I guess, major issues, rural decline, mm-hmm. The rural decline of the church. And that's been a question that people have been banging their heads against the wall over for quite some time, what to do about that.
Wow. Well, that's really an interesting program. And you've got, again, collectively 200, which is a good number.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a sort of a good thriving seminary yeah. community, you know, over yeah. here, you know, yeah. minus the ones that have been here forever. But that, I mean, yeah. that's a really good number.
Yeah. And I mean, we were at about 135 in 2014. We've been growing steadily
okay.
each year. So it's partly to do with adding new hubs. Mm-hmm. But also I think we're tapping into a kind of hunger for depth
sure.
and people find it a very exciting environment. That also fits around their work and life. Very few people can take off from their work and go to a full-time brick and mortar seminary.
Right.
And so I think it's a really good model and allows us as well to tap into some of the best lectures around mm-hmm. to do this.
Yeah. Do you, how about resources? I mean, how do you get your students to resources? Is that a yeah. factor in where a hub is, that they're near a yeah. good library or something?
Yeah. And we try to mitigate the disparity that you would have if you're in London and you would have
right,
access to all
right.
kinds of great libraries. Whereas if you're out in East Sussex, which is where we have another hub, you have slim pickings out there.
Sure.
What we do is we furnish a small library at each hub, which mm-hmm. has all the core books for the modules,
mm-hmm.
we call them modules in
right.
the UK, the courses,
sure.
but they also have access to a huge database online, and then through EBSCO, they have about 7,000 eBooks
mm-hmm.
in biblical studies and theology. So that gives them a pretty
does Chester
much
like
access.
Does Chester give you access to that, like with student
yeah.
identification and all that?
Yeah, they give us access to their databases.
That's really nice.
Yeah, we bought the library, though, the e-library to help support students.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think if you have a small hub of only 1,000 books or library of only 1,000
right.
books, you just can't do research and
right.
substantial study. So that's been really helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So we get good spiritual news from the UK.
Yeah, I think so.
We just, like I said, I just keep getting laments, you know, in email and whatnot. But I wanted to have you on because we have a lot of listeners that are going to be in that area. And, you know, there you go. You can be part of a community, you know, learn something of quality. Take advantage of it. So there it is.
Yeah. Should I share the website?
Yep. Share the website again.
WTCtheology.org.uk. And you can always go on there and email me, Matt Lynch, if you have questions about anything. I'd be really happy to speak with you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Mike, that was good. Another year down, 2017.
Right.
Looking forward to 2018, which is in Denver, I believe.
Right. Denver.
Next year.
Are you going to say in Denver with everything?
No, I've been in Denver several times. So. Right.
So it was just the Rhode Island thing.
It was just the Rhode Island, okay. Yes. The New England area is like another... It's like the UK for me. Okay, well, so
maybe they'll do it in Alaska.
Hence the reason why they call it New England. Because we were in New Jersey and I asked you, where's the old Jersey? Nobody knew. So there you go. All right, Mike. Well, I've enjoyed it. We appreciate everybody that came on. And we'll pick up Hebrews 8 next weekend. So with that, I just want to thank everybody for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit www.nakedbibleblog.com. To learn more about Dr. Heiser's other websites and blogs, go to www.drmsh.com.